Matters, and I don't want to get lost in it, but it's good for us to remember. Jesus is in Jerusalem. It's after that Feast of Tabernacles event that we spent weeks and weeks on, where Jesus makes these grand proclamations before Abraham was, I am. He talks about how he's the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. He's talking about his relationship with the Father. It's been this huge event. He has the attention of the city, of the religious leaders. Some people want to kill him. There's all this tension. And that's when Jesus, it says that he saw and he stopped and he found the guy that was born blind and he healed him. Remember, he made saliva, mud, put it on his eyes. It was the symbol for recreation. He told him to go wash in the pool, same pool with the water that he had said symbolizes him baptizing with the Spirit. Significant. And then this guy's healed, and then the Pharisees, remember, they get angry. Jesus is healing on the Sabbath again. He's not conforming to their rules. And we've talked a lot about how the Pharisees, it's not fair for us to think of them as the bad guys. In fact, they're the people who are most like us. They're Bible people. They want to love God. They want to love what God is doing. They're trying really hard to be the kind of people they think God wants them to be. We find Jesus opposing them. So that's the context. So Jesus is speaking to these Pharisees after they had kicked the guy who was healed out of the synagogue because of what Jesus did in healing him. So that's the context. All right, let's read and we stand. So let's stand. The words of Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, so when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again, and this command I receive from my Father. The Jews, that's the Judeans, who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, in Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Okay. Strong words from Jesus, hopeful words from Jesus. Incredible, beautiful, awesome words from Jesus. What does it all mean? Jesus he's standing in this moment where he had just healed this guy. The healing itself was almost like this sermon-like performance of a message. And immediately after that, this guy is just marauded by the Pharisees, by people like us, by good old-fashioned church people. They want to know, what happened? What did Jesus do to you? Why isn't he playing by our rules? Who do you think he is? And that guy bears witness. He's saying, this is what I experienced. I was blind, now I see. This is Jesus. And they kick him out of the synagogue. And then Jesus steps in and gives this teaching. It starts off, he has this, names his big idea. He creates this word picture of a shepherd and sheep and a sheep pen. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice and they follow the shepherd, but they don't know the voice of strangers. They won't follow strangers. And the Pharisees don't understand what he's talking about, which is fascinating because they're Bible people. And as we talked about last week, the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, is filled. It's all over the place with metaphors about how God is a shepherd and his people are his sheep. It's filled with metaphors about how God's appointed leaders are shepherds and the people are sheep. And Jesus has spent all of this time talking with the Pharisees saying, I'm God's person. I'm God's person. I'm God's leader. He's also said things like, before Abraham was, I am. I'm one with the Father. He's made claims of divinity, and he's also made claims of being the new king of the people. God's shepherd, appointed leader shepherd. Clearly, Jesus is talking about himself, and the sheep are the people. And they know his voice. It was his voice that ended up, he speaks healing over this blind man. But they don't know the voice of strangers, like the voices of the Pharisees, telling this blind man what they think is up. It seems that Jesus' metaphor is clear, but the Pharisees don't understand. And you know what? Sometimes when we read stuff like that, we think, stupid Pharisees. But again, we need to remember, that's kind of us. We don't understand oftentimes. So Jesus, being very gracious, he starts the metaphor teaching over, and this time he goes through slowly and he makes direct connections connecting the dots. The first connection he makes is he says, I am the gate for the sheep pen. We talked about this last week, how in the ancient Near East, during the day, sheep would be out in the pasture, and at night the shepherds would lead them into a pen, and then the lead shepherd, the chief shepherd, would lay down or sit in the doorway to the pen, and that's where he or she would sleep. That way, if any strangers come and try to steal the sheep, they had to get through him or her, whoever the lead shepherd was. That way, if somebody is trying to jump over the wall, they know that's not our person. Jesus says, I am the gate. And there, Jesus is claiming to be the credentialing authority for spiritual leadership. He's telling the folks, hey, if you have some kind of pastor or leader, or like the Pharisees who ran the local synagogue system, if they're not coming through me, don't follow them. We talked about that last week. Jesus is not only making the claim to be God's leader, he's making the claim that he has, he's making an exclusive claim to be the one who gets to decide who leads with God's endorsement and who doesn't. And he's the one who makes the difference. So that's the first part. You know, I think we can see in the context why that's relevant. He's calling these Pharisees out for leading. They're trying to follow God, but they're missing Jesus. He's saying, that's not working, guys. Now the next part. Then now Jesus says, the second half of explaining the metaphor, he says, I am the good shepherd. And he gives this long thing about what that means. That's the part I want to dig into right now. We live in a time and in a place, and it's been like this for years, where there's a lot of imagery lot of us, especially if you've grown up in church, you've probably seen artwork or pictures of Jesus as a shepherd. Those should stand out. Jesus was, as far as we know, was never employed as a sheep keeper. He was a rabbi, and before that, the best we could tell, he was a carpenter. So it's all a metaphor. So we've all seen, though, pictures of Jesus, and they're usually inappropriate. They're very often white European Jesus caring for sheep, and he has no dirt on his clothes, and the sheep are all well behaved. But we've seen these. But I wonder if we really understand, like the Pharisees, what does it mean? What does it mean that Jesus is the good shepherd? In the Greek, the way that that phrase is rendered, I am the good shepherd, if you just read it woodenly and translate it, Jesus says, I am the shepherd, the good one. And I think that that packs some punch because he's standing among these other shepherds. So what does it mean? What does it mean that he's the good one? What is that goodness of his identity as shepherd? What does that tell us as people watching this whole scene of Jesus squaring off against these religious leaders that are so like us? All right, so that's what we're doing. What does it mean when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd? Well, let's break down the phrase. I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd, the good one. It starts with, I am. I don't know if we've talked about this yet. I think we might have. In the Greek, that phrase is ego eimi, which means I myself, I am. And in John's Gospel, when Jesus uses that I am phrase, he's making a direct connection, an allusion, a reference to God's name. God is the great I am. Remember, Moses says, who should I tell the people who sent me to deliver them from Egypt? And God says, tell them that I am sent you. When Jesus says over and over again in John's Gospel, he says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I'm the true vine, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, before Abraham was, I am. All of these times where he's saying this I am phrase, it's like he's saying it, he's making reference to God's name. I am, I myself, I am the good shepherd. That's important, not only because we believe as Christians that Jesus is God incarnate, that's really important, but in this context, it's important because, remember, he's speaking to Pharisees, he's speaking to church people, people who taught the Bible, who led the synagogue system, and he's telling them, I am the great I am, who shepherds. I think Jesus here is not only referencing God's name, he's referencing God's name in the context of alluding to that passage we read in Ezekiel earlier in the service. That's a very famous passage. It was written and given in the context of the people of Judah being exiled. And in Jesus' time, the common understanding was that exile was still going on. And the Pharisees were people who, their party, led the synagogue system. They were religious leaders, very politically involved. They believed that if they could lead God's people, shepherd God's people, in being faithful to God's law, then the exile would end. And God would return all of the Jews back to the land, and God would pour out his blessing, and God would usher in his kingdom. They thought, if we're faithful, if we lead these people in being faithful, then God will end this exile and pour out his blessing. Well, if you go back to this passage in Ezekiel that talks about God and the shepherds of Israel, it says that one of the reasons that God let the sheep be scattered, let the exile happen, is because of the unfaithfulness of the shepherds. It says that the shepherds of Israel, the spiritual leaders, the priests, the teachers of the law, the political leaders, they were unfaithful. They didn't care for the sheep. They didn't take care of the people. In fact, they exploited the people. They exploited the sheep to feed themselves. They only cared about themselves and not the nation. Therefore, God lets the sheep, the people of Israel, be scattered in order to show that he's against the shepherds. And then God goes on to say, I myself will shepherd the sheep. But in the Pharisee mind, this comes together. If the exile happened, if God let the Babylonians come in and the Jewish people be scattered because the leaders, the shepherds, the pastors, were unfaithful, then what they wanted to do is they wanted to be faithful enough almost to reverse it. Does that make sense? So, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In the passage in Ezekiel, what's fascinating, what the Pharisees didn't seem to understand is that that passage in Ezekiel doesn't say the sheep are going to be scattered, exile is going to happen because the shepherds were unfaithful. Therefore, shepherds, get it together and be faithful and I'll regather the sheep. It doesn't say that. That was sort of the Pharisee mindset. But what Ezekiel says, what God says through the prophet Ezekiel is, shepherds of Israel, you've been unfaithful, therefore I will scatter the sheep. Now I'm against you, shepherds of Israel, and I myself will come down, and I will personally shepherd the sheep myself. I will be the shepherd. So when Jesus says, I am, great I am, Yahweh, I am who I am the good shepherd, Jesus is saying, Pharisees, I am God come down to do the shepherding myself. He's making a divinity claim. He's making a right of original jurisdiction claim. Hey, these are my folks, not really yours. And he's making a priority claim. I'm coming down. I will do this myself. I am the good shepherd. I myself. So that's the first thing. And that makes sense why John writes it as, I am the shepherd, the good one. That makes sense. So first, what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the good shepherd? Well, he clarifies the identity of the shepherd, his own identity, as God coming down to do the work of leading his people himself. That's the first thing. Second, Jesus is making a claim of judgment. He is proclaiming himself, identifying himself as one who stands against the Pharisees in this moment. This is really important. In Ezekiel, God says, I'm against you, shepherds of Israel. And here, Jesus is doubling down on that claim. Here you have this guy who was blind and now who can see, who had been healed, and then the Pharisees, in the name of God, in the name of religion, in the name of goodness, cast this guy out. Remember, the Pharisees went to this guy's parents and interrogated them. They hurt this guy. This was spiritual abuse. And then Jesus comes down. I am the good shepherd. And he's saying, I'm against you. I don't stand with you. He's pronouncing judgment. Now, we often don't like to talk about God's judgment. We tend to not think of that as part of the gospel. In fact, we tend to think of the gospel as the escape route from God's judgment. We don't want to talk about it. But what we see here is good for us to remember. The judgment of God is good. And in fact, God coming as judge is part of the good news. It's uncomfortable for us to think of God as the judge who pronounces judgment. We want everyone, let's love everybody and accept everybody and turn the other way and just let it all be. We don't want to talk about judgment. But here, when Jesus saying, I'm the good shepherd, implicitly, I'm against you. I'm against you, Pharisees. I'm pronouncing judgment against you. That might feel uncomfortable for us. It certainly would have felt uncomfortable for the Pharisees. But that would have been like the greatest news to that man who had been hurt by the Pharisees. He would know. He had just been ridiculed, interrogated, not believed, and then kicked out by the religious establishment, the one that was closest to the common people, the synagogue system. And Jesus shows up, God in the flesh, and in front of this guy, essentially says, I'm against them. I'm with you. That is, anyone here, and I know some of us have been, who has been suffered spiritual abuse, who has been ridiculed or kicked out or hurt by pastors, deacons, elders, people who claim to be acting on God's behalf, but in fact what they were doing is pushing you down in order to lift themselves up. We can listen to Jesus' words here and go and understand that that thing that happened to us, that's not from God. In fact, Jesus stands against the people who did that. In fact, Jesus stands with the people who have been pushed down. That's a big deal. Not everything the church does is God's work. In fact, so much of what God does in the world is stand against his own people when they claim to act in his name at the expense of others. So that's good news for those of us who have been hurt by the church. The church acts in the wrong way. It's also a warning for us. It's so easy for us to be these false shepherds of Israel. It's easy for us to claim we're Christians. We act on God's behalf. We're God's people in the world. And then from that place, do things that try to benefit ourselves at the expense of others. And we need to know that when we do that, God is not with us. He does not stand with us. So Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I myself, I am. Great I am. I'm God to come do the shepherding, which means that these other people who claim to act in God's name, they're not doing what I'm doing. They're not with me. They're not following my voice. I'm against them. So that's a huge deal. So the identity of the shepherd means judgment for the Pharisees, but it means gospel for the sheep. It's good news for the sheep. And that's the last part. When God personally comes down in Jesus to do the work of shepherding, those false shepherds are cast out. And then the sheep are brought in and brought close. All of the sheep that respond to his voice. And these sheep are loved, they're known, and they're included. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand would never do this. Their relationship with the sheep is just transactional. It's just a job. But a good shepherd, a shepherd who actually loves the sheep, will go all the way to laying down his life for them. And that's what Jesus does for his people. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Another Greek lesson. The word for life here is not zoe, which is the general word for life. It's psyche, which we know in our language. It means somebody's whole self, not just their outer self, but their inner self. Jesus has said, I'm God, and now he's saying, I give my whole self, my whole life, I lay it down on behalf of the sheep. The word that we translate on behalf of is a word, it's uper, and it literally means over, but it's on behalf of, for the benefit of, instead of. Jesus is saying is, I'm going to give me for you, all of who I am, in order to bring all of who you are in.
It's a substitution type word in this context. That's what love is. And here we see the greatest picture of love that there ever is. A love relationship that's true, that's powerful, that's strong, is not a relationship that's 50-50. It's those of us who are married or have been in long-term relationships, or even have long-term relationships with a close friend or family member that we maintain. We know that true love is not a 50-50 contractual agreement. True love is 100-100. It's, I'm going to give all of me for all of you. And then the other person says, I'm going to give all of me for all of you. It's 100-100. That's what Jesus is saying when he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. That is radical. It reminds me of what he says later in this gospel. Greater love has no one than this, that somebody lay down his life for his friends. The word that's used here for good, I am the good shepherd. It's not the normal word for good that we find in the New Testament. That word is agathos. This word is kalos, which means good, beautiful. Beautiful good. It's totally legitimate if we would have translated this, Jesus saying, I am the beautiful shepherd. And here we see that's a reflection of this love piece. God's relationship with his people in Jesus Christ is not transactional. It's not 50-50. It's 100-100. It's true love. It's beautiful love. We look at Jesus and we say he's our Savior. We don't mean that in the sense of he's the one who impersonally comes to do the things so that we can just get out of our sins and then go on with life. It's not a business deal. He's our beautiful Savior. We look at him and he is giving him his whole self to us. This is like in that moment where Jesus healed the guy and he put his hands on the guy's face. This is intimate. This is like marriage talk. That's who our Savior is. So, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is saying, I am God coming down to personally shepherd my people, and that means judgment for the false shepherds. But for the sheep, the ones who respond to my voice, it's love. It's ultimate love. It's the fullness of love. The sheep are known. He says, I call my sheep by name. He says, I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And then he says this radical statement, as the Father knows me, and I know my Father. That's how I know the sheep, and the sheep know me. We talked about that before. Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Son and the Father, their relationship is in the Holy Spirit. We have Father and the Son loving and accepting and sharing everything from all eternity in the context of the Holy Spirit. In the Trinity, we see perfect intimacy, perfect togetherness, perfect sharing, no boundaries, no hindrances, no secrets, full acceptance. And Jesus says, that's the way I have a relationship with my sheep. That might be a little scary for some of us. We don't want someone to know us perfectly. But remember, the perfect knowledge that God has of his people is perfect love. Jesus is saying, I accept my sheep. I bring them in. My sheep even participate in the life of God. And when they come in, they are fully accepted, fully known, fully loved. That's the kind of relationship Jesus invites us into with himself and with God. Perfectly loved, perfectly known, and perfectly included, brought into the life of God. The Pharisees had this idea that the people of God, the true sheep, first of all, they had to be Jews. makes sense, because that's the people of God, as far as they had known, their whole life, forever and ever, all the way back to Abraham. But then they have this idea that it's just the Jews, and then it's just the Jews like us, the ones who follow our interpretation of the law. The Pharisees differentiated themselves from the temple officials and their system. And they differentiated themselves from the Sadducees and their system. And they differentiated themselves from the Essenes and their system. First century Judaism, kind of like Christianity today, had something like denominations almost. And the Pharisees thought, it's just, you know, the Jews, but just the ones that are like us. That's God's people. And it's to them that Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen, and I'm going to bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. He's telling the Pharisees, I'm working in more groups than just yours. And this doesn't just mean other kinds of Jews at the time. It also means Gentiles. It means the whole world. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, anyone who listens to my voice, that's my sheep. Any sheep who listens to my voice. So what we have is this picture developing between the shepherding of the Pharisees and the shepherding of Jesus. Shepherding of the Pharisees is exclusive. It's culturally niche. It is accepting if people follow the rules, but not if people don't. It's self-righteous, but they love the Bible. They love their town. They love their friends. And they're trying to honor God. There's that picture. And then there's Jesus, who comes in the fullness of God's presence and power. He's not stopped by anybody. He comes healing. He comes proclaiming. He comes in a way that people can understand. He shows himself to be open and gentle. The Pharisees are exclusive. He's inclusive. He invites everyone to come. And when they do come, they're known, they're accepted, and they're loved. And that's his shepherding. And he says, here I am. I am the good shepherd. And I'm not that other thing. That's the picture here. Now, why is this so important for us? Well, it's important for us because, as we've been talking about, when we look for ourselves in the story, we see ourselves in these two places. Number one, we see ourselves as sheep. And we want to be sheep that respond to Jesus' voice, that go and run to be loved and included and accepted. And we want to hear his voice, and we want to say we are with him. But we can also read this story and see we're so much like these Pharisees. We have our cultural niche. We have our ideologies. And, you know, yes, the gospel's for the whole world and for everybody, but the ones who really understand it are the ones like us in our denomination, in our tradition, in our political view, in our cultural enclave. We're the good ones. We do this Pharisee thing. And yeah, we love the Bible, and we want to love God, and we love other people, but we have such a narrow and even transactional view of God's work in the world. We think if we put our faith in, like a coin in a soda machine, God's blessing will come out. We trust in Jesus as a business transaction. I did the thing, therefore he has to give me eternal life. We often come to church and we think, if I go to church, I'm going to have a good week. If I do the stuff, God's going to bless me. We look at other people who might say they're Christians, but they're not like us, and we think, oh, they don't really get it. And then we look at the outsiders. We look at the world. We look at the secular world, and we look at the city, and we say, oh, they are definitely not us. And we get caught in this mindset. So in this story, in this sermon that Jesus gave, in this gospel that he is the good shepherd, we look at this as church people, and we see an opportunity to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus. We see an opportunity to lay our Pharisee brain down and open up our hearts that God created to respond to Him, open them up to Him. We have an opportunity to hear Jesus' voice and go from being blind to being people that see. But in order to get there, we need to be humble. We need to hear Jesus' voice and respond. And He offers His full self to us and to anybody who comes to Him. But in order to get there, we need to walk away from our religious pride. We need to walk away from this idea that if we do it right, God has to come and bless us. God doesn't have to do anything. And in fact, He's already done everything we could ever imagine that's good. He comes to us, calls us by name, and invites us to join Him. So let's believe this gospel. Let's repent and believe. Let's pray.